traveling the world searching for equestrians of all breeds. The journey starts now on the International Equine Network.
Steve Wolf here for Flying Turns, and of course our host and founder of the International Equine Network. We have Scott Miller with us. Scott, how you holding up?
I'm holding up good, Steve, real good. You know, couldn't ask for anything better. I've been really blessed, and, you know, it's going good. How are you holding up, Doug? You've been busy.
Well, I've been pretty busy, and but, of course, as most of our fans know, we live in South Florida, and yesterday the governor put a stay-at-home lockdown on everybody, which I realize it's tough to do to get stuck in the same place, but fortunately we're in South Florida, so at least we've got the weather, which is a good positive. And apparently, if it gets any hotter, it's going to mess up the virus, which I think that's a positive.
Yes, I agree with you there. I got a question for you here, Steve.
Sure.
Your job and harness leak, link and everything, has it been a lot of pressure on you to get the stories in and out because they're changing so much every day?
Well, it's a question of what kind of coverage we have going. In other words, sadly, it's shutdowns and trying to find out what else is going on. Like, and there's a few things. I mean, if not for Facebook, you know, we'd be a little more hard pressed, or the internet, to be able to find out what's going on in the world. But because of the internet, you know, we can hear and see and of everything that's going on. And I guess the biggest news is that on Tuesday night, Cal Expo raced. That's the only harness racing track in all of North America. And they had a pretty good night. They ended up with a handle of nearly 1.4 million, which they have not seen in years. And, of course, all of it was simulcasting money coming in because they had no fans for racing. But then I guess the sad news is that they were all set to race Wednesday night, and the health department came and shut them down. And so I'm sorry, you're creating an atmosphere of where the coronavirus can spread, because you've got, you know, there's maybe 30 people working in the paddock per, you know, on the race night. And they said they couldn't do that anymore. So now there is no harness racing in all of North America. The same is happening with the thoroughbred tracks. They're getting shut down. There's only a couple that are left racing. And in our sport, that's going to make it tough. And I know all the jumpers and dressage and all these events, everything has been shut down and have to be rescheduled. And with the... Go ahead.
Yeah, I was getting to say, you know, you're saying they're shutting down. The same thing, I don't know if they're affecting the standardbreds that way, but the show horses has really thrown the Olympic contenders, you know, into a real jam. And same thing with the harness too.
Yeah, but of course with the Olympics, they're going to reschedule everything for next year. So you have to take those as positives, saying, you know, they didn't just cancel them and say, we're not going to have Olympics now and we wait a few years. They'll just postpone everything until next year. And hopefully this deadly, deadly virus is going to, you know, end up going away. But if people need their harness racing action, they can get it in Sweden. That is now the only track in North America and throughout all of Europe, the only tracks that are racing.
Well, let me ask you this, Steve. You know, we know what it's done to racing. You know, it's obvious. It's just shut racing down completely. And a lot of my thoroughbred friends, we've been talking about, you know, the Derby's been postponed to the fall, and hopefully, you know, it'll be running then. But more importantly, the breeding season. the breeding season and the sales. They are at a quandary what to do, you know, about the sales of these horses that are ready to, you know, go to the in training sales. Do you think it's going to affect the sales a lot?
Absolutely. Absolutely. I mean, if there's no racing, if racing can pick up in June, which doesn't look good at this point, that would be the only be able to be saving grace is to be able to have those races. If not, you know, if the two-year-old season ends up being lost and there's no racing, you know, even maybe until the fall, yeah, that's going to affect the sales big time. But again, the horses are there, the yearlings are there. They're going to need to do something with these horses. They just can't turn them out in the field and let them go. And I don't know what the solution is at this point.
Yeah. What about
someone want to buy a yearling if they can't even race the 2 year olds they have now? Where's the money going to come from?
Well, yeah, that's true. Now, what about the stake payment, Steve, to all the big stakes that
that's been a hot topic because in Canada, the Woodbine Entertainment Group that runs Mohawk Raceway and helps with the other track standard with Canada, they've announced that the April 15th payment has been postponed till May. They're going to, you know, back everything off on the payments, which is, I think, the thing to do. It's an awful lot of extra work for the organizations, you know, just to keep everything up and switch everything over. But they're doing the right thing by the horse people. They're, I guess, giving them an extra month to see what's going on here. And if the virus is hopefully on a downward trend in the next month or so, where it's going to go from there. But I mean, if you have yearlings right now, your mares are foaling and you're not going to want to let them go barren. So you're going to breed them. You're going to have to then eventually pay the stud fee on the foals that you're having now. I mean, it's a whole almost calamity of events taking place that you really can't stop.
Right. Yeah, well, let me ask you this. You know, there's those payments, like in the thoroughbreds, are scheduled over a period of time. Are they going to extend the second payment and third payment, or are they just going to hit it all at once?
Well, there was actually a big payment was due March 15th, and everybody kept through with that. It's this April payment. And what's happening, we talked only about Woodbine. They're extending that payment, that April 15th payment, they're pushing it to May. But the Hamiltonian Society, who has joined with numerous racetracks, the Meadowlands, the Red Mile, I can't think of the names of the other tracks, but they've decided that they need to go forward, that the March 15th or April 15th payment has to be made. And that despite the problems that are going on there, they're keeping the payment schedule going. And there's actually another stake, too, in Canada, for the Prix de Tay, a $200,000 race. They had 30 horses enter in the March 15th payment, and they're going to go forward. They're going to say, and again, this is for four-year-olds only, but they're saying that the April 15th payment will have to be made as scheduled and then go forward because that race is in August and, you know, they want to keep the horses eligible. It's better to make the payments and have the horses eligible than, you know, to drop out at this point because if anything happens that these races cannot be held, then the owners of the horses get their money back.
Right, right. Well, on next week's show, we're going to talk to some ground transportation people in regards to shipping of the horses and to some air transportation friends of mine on flying horses all over the world. It's just literally, you know, had shut them down, you know, from transporting horses. And it wasn't so much because, you know, they were horses. It's because of the personnel that has to come with them, you know. And that's one thing that's really tough. And
right. The ability to ship horses from one country to another, from Australia to America to Europe, that was still taking place. There was no quarantine or stoppage. But now it's a question of the people involved with caring for these horses and putting them in quarantine and everything along that line that's going to not happen.
You're right about that. And, you know, it's not so much the horse that goes to quarantine. You know, it would be the personnel. You know, they would have that 14-day quarantine time that they would have to serve. You know, and actually, you know, it would help because, I mean, you know, the horses are going to be quarantined, too, for various, you know, days. But, you know, I tell you, I just don't understand what all is going to happen with the people that are selling the, you know, the hot dogs and the sodas and the beer and, you know, the people, the ticket takers and, you know, parking lot attendants. You know, it's devastating. How long do you think it'll be before we really realize what this has done to the industry?
We're going to find out every month. That's what I feel. And I'm just going through, you know, some of the different websites that cover horse racing, you know, around the world and looking at some of the stories coming up. And I just saw one that came out today that the Delaware Standardbred Owners Association are working to help their community during this pandemic, but and racing suspended. But they're happy to announce that the Delaware Harness Racing Commission approved a plan on March 31st to actually distribute purses from the final 2 weeks of Dover Downs meet that was not contested. So all the horsemen that had horses entered and stuff to race on those last 2 weeks, they're gonna pay them out the purses, which I think that's wonderful. I mean, these horsemen, they most certainly need it. And so now owners, trainers, drivers, grooms, I think they're all going to get a percentage of all that purse money. And we're talking, a few $100,000.
Yeah.
So,
that's fantastic.
You know,
that'll go a long way to help them, you know. And
sure. It'll help everybody.
A little bit later here in the show, Rachel's going to call in and give us an update on Quest for Equine Gold and the show horse industry. And she's also going to give us an update on, you know, where are these grooms, owners, and trainers going if they can't move anywhere.
Right. I mean, it's... Just, I don't want to, I can't use the word a sin, you know, that none of this can happen, but at least, you know, some places like here, Delaware, they're taking care of the people and they're doing it all over. The horsemen the horsemen at the Meadows, they're paying to keep the Meadows backstretch open. They've made a deal with Penn Gaming, which I think is very good that they're going to be able to stay in the backstretch. And we heard, of course, last week about the move at Pompano, where at first they were going to evict everybody, and then they turned around, and now they're going to help everybody. And that includes if horsemen need food money or food supplies, they're going to give it to them. If a horse, they run out of hay or feed, they're going to provide it. And if they have the opportunity to move the horse, they'll even help with the shipping.
Yeah. So well, that's one of the things that I was thinking about is, you know, now that the income is kind of like dried up from everybody, the one thing that people don't think about is, for example, everybody's used to going to Keeneland and Churchill this time of year. You know, all the local shops, the restaurants, the hotels and everything, and that's just come to a screeching halt. You know, because nobody is shipping to, you know, those other tracks. And the same with standardbreds, you know, and the show horse people and everything. You know, so that's got to be, you know, a devastating blow to the local economy.
Oh, no, it's everything. The entire industry is, right now, it's I would say, solvent, but with no hope of racing for the next couple of months, I think, you know, it's a lot of tough decisions have to be made. And it ends up really falling on the owners to keep these horses, if they keep these horses in training and they have the ability to keep financing this until racing can continue again. And, you know, it's
well,
funny.
Speaking of racing.
You go ahead.
Go ahead. Speaking of racing, Steve, all through South Florida here, we heard that there was a new television announcer and a new horse harness promoter. You wouldn't happen to know who that guy is, would you?
Oh, my God. What do you mean new? I mean, this guy, I think he's been doing it for close to 40 years. But and I guess that person would be me. Yesterday we had a really a fun event, and it was, I guess, befitting that we were able to get this qualifying races done at Olympia of Palm Beach, formerly the South Florida Trotting Center. We held 5 qualifying races yesterday, and it was ironic because it was a good day. Everything went smoothly. We tried our best to keep social distancing, even though there was maybe 8 people, you know, there working, you know, the judges and myself and some of the track people, you know, wasn't. But we did get the job done. We held 5 qualifying races. We actually had the trotters go faster than the pacers in the races. One of them went in 201 flat. We had another race where the pacers went 201-1. Last quarter, 28-4 on a farm track, which is very good. But then on my way home, the governor, you know, I was listening to the news, and the governor came on and said, everyone's required to stay at home. So I guess I felt fortunate that I was able to go out. But it was a heck of an afternoon for qualifiers. In fact, I give a lot of credit to Sam Stathis, the owner of Olympia Palm Beach, to the farm manager, Anne Marie Daly, I mean, and her crew, because everybody worked hard. Kathy Breedlove came out and did the judging. She's a clerk of course, and she brought her people out. It was exciting. We had not live video, but we have video that's up on the OlympiaPalmBeach.com website. And sure, the best thing is yours truly, Steve Wolf, who's called only 5 races in his 40-year career, called all 5 races, including one race that only had one horse in it.
Which was the hardest to do, the ones with multiple horses or the one with just one horse in it?
Oh, the one with just one horse in it. I mean, fortunately, it was a nice 3-year-old filly. Scott Zeron was driving her. She went out there, and it wasn't for a joyride. She actually... she went her mile in 201-4, but I needed a little bit of filler, like talking about Scott and all his wins and how he took the Hamiltonian 2 years ago with Atlanta. And then, but it was good. And we actually had the video. We have droning, too, of the races, you know, coming to the finish and showing everything from above, which came out interesting. And all of this is available on the Olympia Palm Beach YouTube site.
Go ahead.
Yeah, it was. And in fact, it was ironic because Sam Stathis, who's also a trainer driver, he keeps his stallion, Celebrity Maserati, in racing shape. And he had won a couple qualifiers at Pompano. He's 10 years old by Andover Hall. He won one of the races at Pompano in 158. He won today's race or yesterday's race in 205, but only by a head. And he actually raced against his daughter, a 4-year-old mare by the name of Celebrity Serena, named after, of course, Serena Williams. But it was a close race, a father and daughter all the way around. And it was funny because he is actually the sire of two other mares and a horse and a three-year-old colt that all qualified on the day. So it was funny, you know, seeing his name there racing and then seeing him down as the stallion or the sire of some of these horses. One of them, the fastest mile of the day, was Celebrity Miracle, who went on, you know, to win in 201 flat. But what I think is ironic is that 2 weeks earlier, on one of the last nights before Pompano Park closed, Celebrity Miracle had won in 154-3. So we know that he's got some very, very good speed. And, of course, he's sired by Celebrity Maserati. So, and he actually spotted the horse, the other horse, Celebrity Bianca, spotted him 20 lengths at one point. And then by the top of the stretch, Celebrity Miracle had collared the other horse and then went on to win by 2 lengths. So it was great to be able to see a horse close with that kind of speed.
Oh, yeah. Well, you know, that's like here at Sunshine Meadows. We're going to have qualifiers on Friday, as we do every Friday, you know, here. And just talking to some of the trainers, they were saying, you know, how nice it was to be here in South Florida, you know, kind of stuck here. I hate to say that, but, you know, but they're here and can't leave. They said it's nice because they've got the tracks to, you know, do the qualifier on. You know, they can do a lot of things with the horses. But a lot of our trainers here had horses that would be ready to run here, you know, in another month or so. So, you know, it's kind of given them a little bit of experience and, you know, things that they can do, you know, in a qualifier.
And, well, it
looks
exactly.
Like, go ahead.
Well, no, what I was going to say is that's a decision, which I guess money's going to dictate whether or not you keep these horses sharp or sharp enough so that when racing returns, they're ready to race. I mean, there's now thousands of racehorses. I mean, tens of thousands of racehorses, thoroughbred, quarter horse, harness horse. I mean, you want to throw in the eventing horses too, and they can't do anything but practice.
Exactly. You're exactly right. You know, it's like we were saying before about Keeneland and Churchill opening up, you know, in the fall here, or in the spring. You know, you're talking about that really kicks off the show horse season because you have the Global Champions Tour, which goes to 12 different countries, and it's a show jumping. And they usually start, you know, in Miami and, you know, go to Spain and to Europe and, you know, all over the world. And so that shut that down. And then we have the three-day Rolex that's in Lexington at the Kentucky Horse Park.
Exactly. That's a big one.
The Keeneland Sales, plus you have the Derby, you know, all in a 10-day period, you know, and the revenue that's going to be stopped. But more importantly, I asked some of the trainers today, I said, how do you guys adapt to this? How do you adjust? You know, because you got them ready to run. Now, what do?
Yeah, you're absolutely right. I mean, the only thing I can think of would be, you know, interval training where you don't work them hard at a mile or whatever, you know, mile and a quarter, wherever they're going at. And you just work them hard at going a quarter or going a half, get a little repetitive with that, and hopefully they turn around. You know, they stay in shape so that when the word is out that tracks are going to open on a certain date, these horses are still sharp enough. But who's paying the bills? I mean, the top trainers right now are getting $90, $100 a day. I don't know what it is in the thoroughbred. I know that it is in the harness, and that's a lot of money. Plus, the trainers have to keep their grooms with them. I mean, it's very, very difficult times right now. Yeah, but it's right. Other than World War II, I don't think there's ever been an instance in horse racing to make it stop like on a dime like it has now. And
well,
I guess
exactly
that this
right.
virus is a war.
Go ahead.
No, no, I was saying that this virus is like a war and it's shutting everything down.
Oh,
instead
exactly.
of fighting, though, exactly. it's just, you know, it's just, we're fighting this virus is what we're doing.
Well, you know, next week, I hadn't seen you or talked to you since, you know, the other day. But next week, we're going to have some feed dealers on. Like I said, the land transportation, air transportation.
Right.
Going to talk with the folks at Churchill Downs. And they're going to let us know what they're going to do about the Derby, you know, what the timeline might be for that. And it ought to be an interesting show next week because we're going to have a variety of, you know, people that are going to let us know from their perspective how it affects that part of the industry and how it's affected them, you know, personally.
No, you're absolutely right. I mean, I dabble a little bit in horse sales and it's difficult right now. I mean, you can still ship horses from down under or Europe to come here, but it's, what do you call it? It's reaching a point where people are going to be afraid to start investing big money in buying horses if they can't race them. And they're having babies. If the sales aren't going to go well, then who knows what's going to happen. So go ahead, Scott.
You know, like you're saying, how do you stay on top of that? You know, you're always ready for a sale, and which a lot of people don't realize, you know, that there is some training and conditioning to get them ready for the sale, you know, and now it's off or not.
I don't know what to tell you. I mean, I guess, you know what we'll have to do? We'll have to call up and get... And in the harness side, we'll have to get a Randy Mangus or a David Reed, you know, that runs some of the biggest sales out there, and see what they're doing, and we'll get them on as guests.
Yeah, we'll have to do that because, see, a lot of people didn't realize that one of the premier two-year-old in training sales was the Gulfstream sale that was to take place yesterday, and it didn't happen. You know, and so now you're looking at, you know, what do you do with all these horses? There were 181 horses in that catalog, you know, at the point of, you know, ready to take on and move forward and be ready to race here in 2 or 3 months. And a lot of people, you know, their livelihood depends on the two-year-old in training sales because they're what they call pen hookers. And they'll take a horse and try to get him, you know, out of the two-year-old sales and then get him sold, you know, in the next 30 to 90 days. And that's not going to happen.
No, it's not. I wish I had answers to tell our listeners, but it's very difficult. And we've got another problem, too, in our industry that needs to be addressed. And that is the indictments that came down last night on everyone. And there's been an update on that because apparently the due process of law is still going to take place despite the virus. And harnessracing.com has a story that several of the defendants in the federal cases on the drug misbranding and the doping of racehorses are being arraigned via teleconference. And that's taking place as this afternoon. The harness racing people, Nick Surik, Chris Oakes, Chris Marino, Rick Dane Jr. and Ross Krogan, and the thoroughbred trainers, Jorge Navarro and Jason Service. And their arraignment is scheduled for 2:30 this afternoon. And it's all going to be done via teleconferencing.
Is it going to be live on TVG and IEN?
I don't think so. I think it's just between these people and the judge, U.S. District Judge. I mean, this is a very, very serious situation here on these indictments. In fact, the Blood Horse reported that the assistant United States attorney in the Southern District of New York, who's handling these cases, says it would not be unusual for the legal fees for this case, for these defendants, to reach seven figures, over $1 million. Because, and the reason, in his opinion, is that these indictments, especially against Navarro and Service, are so filled with allegations and descriptions of supporting evidence that it will be difficult for their legal teams to even defend.
Oh, you're exactly right. And you got to remember something else, too, that, you know, the law is the law, and you have to, you know, administer it accordingly. But the problem that, you know, that I see is, since this is such a high-profile case, you're going to have to make a statement to, in order to save the horse industry, you know, and let the fans know that they are correcting these mistakes that were made by these trainers and owners, that it is a legitimate sport, you know, that you can go to the track and you know that it's an honest deal going down.
Right.
And that's the big thing that I'm looking at. You know, it's going to be very important to do that. You know, and it's my understanding, just from the thoroughbred end of it, once they started investigating and getting witnesses and information, it's just spread out, you know, to a lot more than just the ones that we know about in the indictments.
Well, I just hope that when they find these people guilty, which I think they're going to do, is that they'll never be able to touch a horse again.
Oh, I think you're right in it, because there's been several cases along with show horses over the last few years that involve, you know, some illegal, you know, situations. And they came out, and the one guy, and I'm not going to say his name, but he was a renowned trainer, owner, breeder. You know, they set the standards by this gentleman, and he got a lifetime ban, you know. I mean, they really came down on him and set it as an example, you know, that if you get caught doing anything, you know, out of school, then, you know,
right,
you're going to pay the price for it. And when they stunned the show horse, what was it, you know?
Yeah.
And I think that might what's going to happen here, you know, coming up.
Oh, I believe it. I mean, at least the court is doing their due process here, and they're having their arraignment. So this case is not falling to the wayside, you know, just because it happened during or right at the beginning of the virus. So we're glad to see they're going to get here, and I'm sure there'll be reports out there as soon as that arraignment's over. I mean, I guess it would be interesting. We should probably see if we can tune into it and listen.
Oh, yeah, that would be, you know, I'm sure we can find it somewhere on the internet, you know, where we can do that. But, you know, the whole sport of the horse racing is just unbelievable how much of horses and all the associations and the businesses that, you know, benefit from it. It's into the billions of dollars. And now, you know, it's coming to a screaming halt. You know, it's going to affect everybody, not just horse people, but everybody in this country. You know, and that's what's got me worried. Can we recover in the horse business you know, bring it back to what it was?
Well, I think if we can get a date set where they'll allow tracks to open, and that way that'll give a hope to everyone, oh, we can get our horses set to do this and that, and then reschedule the big events to be held at another time. Or, I mean, I realize it's something special, but if you have a really good reason, like a worldwide pandemic of a killer disease, then you postpone it for a year, so be it. At least they know there's going to be a future. It's the future that counts.
Oh, you're exactly right. You know, and I was telling one of our owners out here today, I said, you know, I said, the biggest problem that I see with this virus and you know, with the, you know, the indictments and everything is the not knowing. How can you plan your future when you don't know what's going on or how long it's going to last?
Well,
I
can't answer that because I don't have any horses. There was a time when my father and I ran the Broodmere farm, and we would have a stable of 5-6 horses racing, and I would be in the situation that everyone else was in. But I guess I'm not, so I really can't give a positive answer. And I feel bad because places like where, you know, Sam Stathis and his Olympia Training Center, Peter Wren running the qualifiers by you guys. I don't even know if you can do that anymore because I don't think so. And I know Southern Oaks up in Central Florida, they had scheduled three different weekends they were going to have qualifying races in April. But now with, you know, with the state shutting down any meetings or groups and stuff, I think those qualifiers are going to go by the wayside.
Oh, exactly. Well, you know, I was talking to tax shop people around the country and building up a story for later on in the month. And, you know, they said it hasn't affected them, because the people are still needing to buy the same things that they've always been buying. The only thing it affected was the fact that they didn't have a walk-in business. And most of the tax shop companies now are all internet, you know, and they're shipping everything. So, you know, they said it hasn't really affected them yet, you know, and they don't know if it will down the road because, you know, you got to face it. If they need supplements, they need supplements. You know, and that's something that you just can't stop, you know, buying.
Nope, I understand that. I understand that. I'm just trying to look for some, I guess I want to call it shining light or something positive coming on out there, and it's very, very tough. I mean, I don't know where we're heading with this, with our horse racing, and how it's going to get affected as this virus is, you know, spreading and getting worse.
Well, I said this morning, I tell you, from the thoroughbred standpoint of it, this is the way I see it. It's going to take the strong outfits like Pletcher's and the Bob Baffert's, and they're going to stay strong. They're going to stay steady, and they're going to be on an even keel, you know, headed for what they're doing. And I truly believe that the weaker of the horses and the trainers and the farms, I think it's going to make them stronger because they're going to have to step up. They're going to have to fight and scratch for everything that they get, you know, and I think they're going to reevaluate everything. And I think that it's going to make our business a lot stronger. And, you know, it's going to be interesting to see coming up in the fall, just how, you know, everybody's going to do.
Well, we got to do something.
Go ahead, sorry.
I mean, in order to keep going, I hate to see people go into debt, you know, in order to keep things going, but, you know, that's what's going to happen. I mean, you know, fortunately, apparently in the United States at least, you know, if you can't pay your rent this month because you live, you know, by check to check, you don't have to.
Right.
They can't evict you.
Right.
And,
right.
I think that's
right.
Important to know for people.
Well, you know, Steve, I think that a lot of the things that, you know, we're experiencing with the horses, you know, it's universal. It's affecting the same people that, you know, like to walk, work at Walmart and, you know, that type of thing. And we have some people here on the farm that were going to be losing their jobs because you know, the trainers were going up north, and, you know, they'd been working here since, you know, last September. And to show you how there is a silver lining, there's five of the people out here at the farm that went on to get jobs at Publix and Amazon, you know. And they realized that, you know, they were making some good money. They had a future there with them, and they're working 40 and 50 hours a week, you know, and it just worked out good for them. You know, whether they come back to the horse business, I don't know.
Okay.
I think we got Rachel on, Steve.
Yeah, let's talk with her.
Hello.
Rachel, are you there?
Hey,
I'm
how
here.
Are you?
How are you guys?
Good, how are you?
We're doing okay.
Good. Everybody staying safe, washing hands?
Yes.
You got it. Rachel, how are they doing up at Wellington with the show horses? You know, is USAF and FEI keeping a good tight control on everything?
Yes, everything has been shut down as far as USAF and FEI. There are no more horse shows being held.
Do you know when they're going to be, might ramp them back up? Or is it month to month?
Yeah, it's kind of up in the air right now. Word has it, you know, they're hoping for maybe May, but again, it's really going to depend on, you know, what happens locally here and there. You know, I think everybody's kind of in that same situation right now. Everything's up in the air until people start to really, you know, heed and listen to what's going on.
Okay. Well, Steve and I were talking about earlier about how it affects everybody. And what about, you know, you're in the real estate business too. What do the people do that have like the 6 and 7 month lease and they're supposed to be out by April because they're headed north? What are they doing?
Well, my suggestion is you contact your, whoever you're leasing the property from and see if you can get a 30-day extension. But with that being said, you know, some of these short-term leases, the landlord already has somebody in place as a backup. So again, each situation is going to be different. But what I'm recommending to my tenants, you know, renters who have come through me is, you know, we'll reach out directly to the landlords and see if they don't have anyone lined up immediately. Let's see if we can extend these leases for another 30, possibly 60 days. You know, that's really the best scenario at this point.
When you know what I was thinking, and I saw you earlier, you know, I tell you what, it sounds like to me the best thing to do would be to buy, you know, because you're down here most of the year and you're out of state 4 or 5 months maybe. So do you think mm-hmm. buying would be the best?
I do. I mean, think about how much money is spent on a seasonal lease. You know, you're paying a premium, number one. Anything less than 6 months in the state of Florida, the tenant is actually charged with a transient tax, which is 12% of the gross lease that goes straight to the state of Florida. So if you're here for 3 years, say, and you're leasing something for, I don't know, $15,000, $20,000 for the 3-4 months you're here, you know, 3 years in a row, that's a down payment.
Yeah.
And my gut feeling is after all of this kind of blows over, I think the real estate prices are going to continue to go up.
Okay. Now, what about the equestrian community? Living here in South Florida and being involved with the horses and everything, we've got some beautiful, you know, equestrian facilities here and all shapes, sizes, and all price range. Do you think that people will be buying now because of this?
I really do. I think, you know, with the amount of money that some of my clients have lost in the stock market, I know that they're all starting to call and ask, you know, where can they put their money instead? And I think real estate is always the answer. You know, people want to touch and feel and see. They want to, you know, see where their money is. And sitting in a in an account in a crisis like this where you're losing money in the stock market, that's, you know.
That's right, Peter.
Oh, yeah, I agree. Steve, what do
my
you
father
think about
was
this?
A, can we my father was a real estate broker in three different states, and he used to always say they're not making any more land except for
well,
in Holland.
That is exactly right, Steve. They are not making any more land, especially here in South Florida. And if you know anything about South Florida, it's almost gone.
Exactly. It's and that's why you're absolutely right. If you're willing to be, if you want to invest your money in something that is going to hopefully retain its value and only increase, the answer is going to be land or homes.
Absolutely. Yep. You know, it's definitely not a short-term investment, but if you're a landlord and, you know, somebody's coming to lease from you, do you know how quick 5 years goes by? You have a tenant for 5 years paying your mortgage. You're in a good spot.
Yeah, excellent spot. And well, the way things are going now, the Florida is the place to be because – you know, whether it's climate change or whatever, the weather has been, I mean, it's actually dry and droughtish, but it's been excellent. Every day sunny in the low 80s.
Steve, let me ask you a question real quick here about, and it's all real estate related. When these guys are traveling from place to place, you know, and they're renting or what have you, what's going to happen with all the owners and the trainers that have bought homes here in South Florida popping all over the close?
Well, again, they're going to have to do their best to rough it out. And I know they're preparing to go up north, and they probably have arrangements made already. So it's a tough decision because they literally, of course they can move. It's a little bit difficult, but they can. My son actually is moving to Orlando from Melbourne, and he was fortunate to find a small moving company that'll come and take everything for him because this business of being not being out in public and keeping social distancing is affecting an awful lot of businesses.
We're still seeing the real estate sales that have been in the works for 30 to 60 days, over the past 30 to 60 days. Those are being pushed through. People are still buying and selling properties, but it's changing. The face is changing in the way that we are now conducting business. And as I mentioned on your last show, you know, more agents are having to get involved in the technology world, and we're now having to show properties with these virtual tours. So I'm unable to meet with clients face-to-face right now in Palm Beach County. I can still sell a house, I can still show a house, but it has to be by virtual tour.
Oh, that's very different.
Mm-hmm. What about your website and how to get a hold of you, Rachel? Will you be able to direct our listeners in that direction for the virtual tour?
I can, yes. I'm always available, you know, by phone, by email. My website address is rachelcorthals.com. I'm a 20-year veteran in the real estate world in Palm Beach County. So, you know, I know this area like the back of my hand.
Yeah. Hey, I tell you what, we'll give a horse away for every house that they buy. How's that? I know some people got horses that are getting out of the business. Buy a house, get a horse for free.
Buy a house, get a horse. You
know, yeah, there you go. That's what we need to do. Steve, real quick question. What are we going to do on next week's show? What are we going to do harness-wise? Come up with something exciting like you did with the with the qualifiers at Sam's place.
I wish, because that's been my forte in my career, has been, you know, running events at racetracks or training farms and helping them get the most out of the action. And it's at a standstill right now. I mean, for next week, I think what we need, what we'll do is we're going to get perhaps David Reed or someone from the involved with the horse sales, maybe a Russell Williams from the USTA in Hanover, and speak with them and see what's going to happen with the delays. Those are the kind of, we need to get some of the industry leaders on our show and let them better explain than we are. I mean, of course, we're giving you stories, you know, fresh off the presses, as they say, and covering it. Now we need to hear from more experts in the field, like Rachel talking about the real estate business and what's going on. Because people don't realize, I mean, between Southern Oaks and Spring Gardens and Sunshine Meadows and Olympia Palm Beach, I mean, now we're talking hundreds and hundreds of horses and multiple trainers that, for the most part, either have homes or are, as Rachel was talking about, leasing places. And whether or not, you know, they're going to be able to leave and go up there, or what's going to happen, you know, there's a lot of money at stake here with these properties. And as Rachel said, the lessee, if they have somebody else, they don't want the property to go empty. But boy, it's an awful hardship if you're stuck in Florida and you have a place in New York and you've got to pay money on that place in New York too. You're paying, it's like paying for two homes.
Mm-hmm. Oh, you're exactly right. You know what's a good thing about having Rachel Hiss? She's not only a show horse person, but she can answer all the real estate questions to all of our equestrian listeners out there.
It's important. And of course, to our listeners, we encourage them to call or write in or email us at IENTV.org and check out our website, because we'll have updated information. I mean, we obviously can't have races to show you, unless you want to hear me call a two-horse race at Olympia from yesterday. But other than that,
you need to go look at that. You did good.
I thought we had a lot of fun with it. I mean, but I feel bad for the social distancing impact, and that, you know, we're not going to be able to do it anymore. That was probably one of the last racing events in at least all of North America for the next month or so.
Right. Hey, maybe we can get Rachel to get us a link to a virtual tour of a horse facility that's for sale here in the next week. Think you could do that, Rachel?
I'll see what I can do. I'll see what I can whip up for you.
Yeah,
that would be good. And we need to get Pam back on the show and talk about some chuck wagon food and stuff, because we got to come up with ideas for cooking at home, because I'm fearful that some of the restaurants and stuff are not going to be open anymore, because it's just too difficult. They're not making enough money just doing takeout food. And, you know, we need to learn how to cook more stuff at home.
You're exactly right. And, we got everything here. Rachel can sell you the house. Ann can tell you what to cook in the house. Steve and I can tell you what kind of horses you need to put in the barn. We've got it all going on.
There's a lot of, in fact, if you go on Facebook, I've never seen more people posting different horse questions and things. Like, you know, I did one of them the other day, which I thought were cute. I mean, these are things on Facebook that get your mind going and talk about. But they wanted you to list the six great horses that you saw race or saw as a stallion. You know, you saw them in person, and one of the six horses had to be a lie, had to be a horse that you'd never saw. And I thought it was great. Or people are asking you to look on your cell phone and send us the sixth horse picture that you have on your phone, and send that in and see what's going on. It's people are coming up with innovative ways to entertain each other, you know. And I'm starting a book now, so and I love reading. And that's going to be another thing, you know. Where is there a good read? How much TV can you watch? How much how much money is Netflix making now with subscription holders?
Oh, exactly. Rachel, I've got a question for you here. I'm always asking questions and everything. But as far as the real estate end of it goes, you know, is there a certain amount? I mean, do you have to have $5 million to get an equestrian property, or can you get something smaller, a fixer-upper?
Honestly, to buy, I mean, they're all levels of equestrian property. So, you know, the variables really are going to be, you know, what size. You know, if you're a large operation, yes, you're going to be looking in the multi-million dollar, you know, numbers. But if you're looking for something small, you know, a couple of horses, two, maybe three on an acre out in Loxahatchee, you can still get into something, I would say, under $1 million, maybe between about $500,000 and $700,000 that might need some, you know, a little loving, if you will.
Right.
You know, it really depends on what you're looking for. You know, you just want a couple in your backyard. Even homeland in Lake Worth, you can still get into homeland in the, you know, 700 range. So, yes, the answer is yes, you can still do it.
And anybody that buys a house from you will get a free autographed book, and Steve gets the cover.
free autographed business card.
there you go.
Steve,
what's
the name of your book going to be?
I haven't come up with it yet, but it's something to discuss. And you're right. If I'm trapped at home, I should start writing up some of my memoirs. But I don't want to get in trouble with anybody telling the truth of what has gone on over the years. But it's been interesting. I think that's what a lot of people should start doing, and just writing up, you know, how I spent the virus months trapped in my house.
Yeah. Well, the one story I'm looking forward to you writing is about the horse that you had that had all the fireworks and had all the, it was an unbelievable show.
That's right. In fact, I was disappointed because I thought it would make a great TV movie, you know, about how what we're talking about a gentleman from Australia by the name of Vincent Silvestro. This is for Rachel and for our listeners out there. And this gentleman was able to train horses, and he would have his sulky, his jogging or racing cart, and attached to it was a platform where he would put all these tubes that would shoot off over 2,000 rounds of fireworks while the horse raced around the dark track. And this gentleman would stand on the shafts of the race sulky and put the lines of the horse in his teeth so that the horse was literally going around the racetrack by itself, because at one point he would light up 10,000 candle power marine flares and hold them in his hands as he drove the horse with his teeth. And all these fireworks going off, and the horse, let's say on a 5/8 mile track, would do 3 laps of fireworks, which was, it was unbelievable. And, you know, it was a heck of a show, and the veterinarians would come and check the horse out because, you know, he didn't wear earplugs because the trainer, as he said, was talking to the horse, letting them know when each explosion was going to take place. It was a remarkable, remarkable show. But and we did, I think, about 25 shows in the United States. And then he's back in Australia now. But Vincent is still always talking about getting another horse and doing the show again. But yes, at the time, that was a great, great show. In fact, I know we're running out of time, but the very, very first show he did was at Northfield Park on a big night, and it rained, but they still got 10,000 people to come out, and he still did the performance in the driving rain, and it was remarkable. It was just except for the geese. He scared the geese, and one of them actually hit his shoulder as it flew away.
Wow. Well, guys, I tell you what, I think next week will be good. Steve, we'll get a good update from all the things that from the harness industry. Rachel will find out more about real estate and Quest for Equine Gold. We'll get Ann back on the show for Chuck Wagon. And I'll have two or three interviews next week set up with various thoroughbred people such as Churchill Downs and transportation. And salespeople. Guys, thank you.
All right.
Thanks for having me.
Okay,
bye.
Take care. Have a good week.
Okay, all of you, have a safe week.